Reading from Hebrews 10, 32 to 39, and 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. However, I'll be reading from the 2011 version of the NIV, and our Pew Bibles are actually the 1984 version. So for today, you might find it better to follow on the screen, beginning with Hebrews 10, 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, do you ever feel like Popeye the Sailor Man? I know I do. Think of Popeye when Bluto has done one outrageous thing too many, and Popeye finally says, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. I've said that, not quite with that accent or inflection, but I've said, that's enough. I can't handle any more. I've reached my limit. Stop the world. I want to get off. You said that? I bet you have. Maybe it was when you were the parent of an infant. I'm not meaning to scare Reuben, whose wife's going to have a baby any day. But sometimes the kid cries and cries and cries. You rock him. You sing to her. You beg this child, which is starting to look like a little monster to your fatigued brain, and say, please, I'll do anything. Just stop crying. But the kid won't. Maybe it's when you've been suffering yet another one of your migraines. When it hurts to have the light on. When it hurts to have people speak to you. And you say in the darkness and in your pain, please, God, anybody, take this away. Drugs, cool washcloths, anything. Just give me relief because I am at the end of my rope. But nothing seems to help. Maybe it's when you go into work yet again and you got that boss, that monster who belittles you, yells at you, who fails to recognize your accomplishments, who seems to have made it his personal ambition in life to make you miserable. And finally, you just have to say, I can't take it any longer. Maybe it's when you go to school yet again and you're feeling again like somebody on the outside of everything. You don't feel included in what's going on. People don't talk to you. You're not invited to play or to engage in sports. And you feel marginal and inconsequential. Say, why do I even bother? I'm giving up. That's enough. You have your own story, I'm sure, your own way of saying, this is when I have said enough and I can't take it anymore. Now, the Apostle Paul certainly knew about that. As Donna read for us from 2 Corinthians 12, that he did not have an easy time of it as well. He wrote that he had a physical condition which was super bad, and he called it his thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, a cause of torment. These were all very strong words and strong images to say, I have something which is knocking me down, which is more than I can handle, and caused him to pray, and not just, oh dear God, blah, blah, blah. No, but to cry out to God, please, I am at the end. Take this away. People have tried to figure out what this thorn in the flesh was. A lot of people think that it had to do with his eyes. I don't know if you remember the story of when Paul became a Christian. He was a persecutor of the church on his way to Damascus to arrest and persecute the Christians that were there. And the Lord appeared to him in a bright light and with a voice, and Jesus spoke to him. And he fell to the ground, and when the light went away and when the voice stopped speaking, he was blind. And he was led to Damascus, where the Christian man named Ananias laid his hands on him, prayed for him, and it says something like scales fell from his eyes, and he could see. Say, oh, is that the indication that he had continuing eye problems? When you think in Galatians chapter 4, Paul wrote to them, he said this, I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Kind of implies certainly that he had a problem with his eyes. And later on in Galatians, he wrote, someone else wrote most of the letter for him. He dictated it. And at the end, he wrote his own words with his own hand. And he said, see what large letters I use as I write to you in my own hand. Because, well, he wrote that way because he was so poor sighted. He was so afflicted with his eye thing that's the only way that he could do that. Other people think that, no, it wasn't eyes, that he actually had epilepsy, that he suffered seizures, and that they were recurring, and that would have caused him distress. The Jews would have said, oh, this man is diseased or damaged and unworthy to speak the word of God to us. And the pagans would have said, oh, he has a spirit, one of the gods is in him, and they would not have understood his message. If that's true, it certainly would have hindered the ministry that he was called to do and caused him deep physical and spiritual distress. He says, enough, dear God. Please heal me. Please release me from this. Please, I beg you, let me not be burdened. Now, we read in the book of Hebrews about a message that was given to the members of the early church. The book of Hebrews, we call it a letter, but what Hebrews really is a collection of sermons that were preached on Old Testament texts. Well, in one of these sermons that's contained in the book of Hebrews, we hear about the besieged members of the early church. Now, to say that their lives were tough is a massive understatement. These people were constantly insulted and belittled for being followers of Jesus Christ. Hey, you Christians, you bunch of morons. Hey, you Christians, too stupid to follow the worship of the gods of our ancestors. Hey, you know what an intelligent Christian looks like? Neither do I, because I've never met one. Worshipping a Jew who was executed for being a loser? I mean, what nonsense. What a bunch of morons you are. Well, this constant, unrelenting abuse was what they experienced. They were persecuted, being caught out on the street could meant being beat up by thugs with no one coming to your defense. People see you being abused and they just turn around, they walk around it. And if they did see you being assaulted, they would commend your abusers rather than come to your aid. Christians were arrested. They were thrown in jail for the simple reason that they were people who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there was for them no trial, no rights, and no defenders. Christians had their homes seized, their property confiscated, their businesses trashed. They were thrown onto the street and had to seek sanctuary with any brothers and sisters whose homes had not yet been targeted. And they said, enough. Please protect us, God. Defend us. How long, O Lord, before you intervene? Really, how much will God allow before he comes to our aid? How long before we are rescued from the trouble and the discouragement and the burden that life has become? Didn't he say, after all, that he'll never give us more than we can handle? Well, actually, he never did say that. He never said any such thing. But before we go further in this, I do want to set something straight. Because people have found their own way of answering this problem. Why is it that we who try to do right, who try to live according to the word of God, who try to testify to the grace and mercy of the Lord, have suffering in our lives or have trouble? Well, why does that happen? And a common way of dealing with it was to descend into what's called deism. Deism is the belief that God is the creator. That he made everything and he made it nice and it's good. But it's like God is the maker of a clock. That he made the clock and he wound it up and he started it in motion, and once it was going, he just walked away from it. He said, okay, I've made it. It's running. I'm just going to let it carry on its functions, and I'm not going to look, and I'm not going to be involved, I'm not going to care. It's just out there. We're on our own, say the deists. Don't bother praying to God because he's not listening. Don't waste your time worshiping him because he doesn't really care. Just deal with whatever comes your way because that's the way it is. Good, bad, beautiful, ugly, whatever, it's your lot and just endure. That's not the attitude or the thinking that goes into the Christian confession. We say something else about God. We say that God is the one who is here. He's not distant. He's not away. He's here. He is with us. We say that our God loves us. That his nature is good and that he has all power. We confess all those things. But then there is the obvious and inevitable question. Then if God is good, and if he is powerful, and if he's with us, and he loves us, if all those things are true, then why in the world doesn't he intervene in our lives? Why doesn't he heal our diseases? Why doesn't he protect us from attack? Why doesn't he make our lives filled top to bottom with joy? Why does he allow us to come to the point of saying, I can't take it anymore? Well, it's important to remember a couple of things. That we live in a world which is saturated by the effects of sin. From top to bottom, from side to side, in every dimension there is sin. And the reason that sin is there is because humanity, the scripture teaches us, brought it in, and we are lying in the beds that we have made. And that's what makes life hard. And when life sucks, that's why it sucks. It was hard for the Christians who received the sermon in the book of Hebrews because they were a confessing community. They spoke the truth and they got smashed for it. And it was hard for them. It was hard for Paul when the messenger of Satan, that devastating thorn in the flesh, did all it could to hinder him from being the servant of the Lord he was called to be. And it's true for us when we are dealing with our own thorns. When we have cancer, when we have heart disease, when we have chronic pain, when we have strokes, when we have dementia, when we have colic. It's true for us who have lost jobs. It's true for us who have lost partners or children or parents or friends to the grave. It's true of us who have had our aspirations and our dreams be unfulfilled. Life is not easy. Life is often painful. And we are called to endure. And we do endure, don't we? We make it through somehow. We survive the terrible loss. We survive the pain. We make it through the challenges that life throws at us. And in time, we come out on the other side. And in a way, you could say, well, everybody does. Everybody that has a loss, you know, has to kind of just work through it and hope and pray. Well, they don't, not everybody prays, but certainly they've got to get through the grieving process and get to the point where they can say, I can now carry on. Painful events become history. And as they recede further and further in the rearview mirror, we learn to pick up the pieces and go on ahead. But the promise of God to us is not that we will simply endure, that somehow we'll make it through, that we'll limp along. The promise of God is that we will endure these things with grace. Because we go through them not alone. Say, God is with us. God is with us. Right now for me, this is a good time of life. I mean, I'm not sick. My children are all fine. I have, I think, job security. I feel super, super blessed. And I know God's with me. And I testify to that. I confess that. I tell you that. I believe and I know that God is with me. But there are times, there have been times for me, and there will be times ahead for me. And there are or will be times ahead for you when you and I go through the dark valley. We'll have painful experiences. We will have nights of weeping. And in those valleys, and throughout those nights, God will be with us. He will be there. And He will bring us through all of those times with our faith intact, with a testimony that we can share of His faithfulness to us and His encouragement for us in those dark and deep nights of the soul. Because He reveals His power to us in those times of testing and hardship. The Apostle Paul said that I glorify in my weakness, because in my weakness the power of God is revealed most clearly. And I know that when we as a congregation and we as families and as individuals have gone through these dark and terrible nights, that God did not abandon us. And when people say, how are you able to endure this and still hold your head up and still lift up your eyes to the mountains from whence our help comes, we say it is because we serve a Lord who is there with us. And His power is being manifested in my adversity. It's been revealed to us as individuals, this power. It's been revealed to us as a church. And we want that revelation to be seen by our community and the world. Now, hard times might be yours now. They might be coming. But my word to you today is be ready. Be ready by remembering the truth of God's love and promises, of His guaranteed faithfulness to us. And give Him glory. For with Him, we can handle all things. With His presence in our lives, we will not fear the night. And we will endure the hardship. And we will say, God is good. For his is the victory, and he has done it. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being the God of victory, the God who is with us, the God who upholds us, the God who gives us hope and a future. For those of us that right now say, this is my dark night, we pray that that you will surround them and lift them up, open their eyes to your presence in them. And for those of us who are not in that place, let us be ready so that when challenges and hardships come, we will not be surprised and we will not forget your word. Let it make us strong in you by your Spirit to your glory. Hear our prayer. Hallelujah. Amen.